Duck pulled himself up to the platform, still clinging to the makeshift ladder. He tracked the cannon fire, spotting the men ranged in front of the palisade wall at the front of the trading post. A 20-millimeter round exploded against the ground less than 30 yards distant from the palisade wall. It opened up a small crater in the earth and flung two corpses to the ground yards away. Annie checked another round into the cannon. She sat in the chair without a stitch of clothing on.
Glad to see you up and around, Theophilus. I was afraid I'd killed you with last night's loving.
Madam, I'll warrant that you put your best efforts to the task, and indeed I found myself sluggish recuperating. But I am still here, and greatly concerned.
What's wrong?
Dear lady, I am wondering about my companion's welfare.
I saw them moving around a minute ago.
Did you see in which direction they headed?
I was kind of busy. God damn, where the fuck did that come from?
There. There's a sniper in the tree out beyond the perimeter you have blazed. To the left of the trail to the gates.
I see him.
The 20-millimeter round slammed into the treetop, tearing branches and the sniper loose.
Excellent shooting, dear lady.
Doc stepped forward again and swept the inner courtyard for some sign of the companions.
They couldn't have left me, could they?
What's on your mind, Doc?
My guess is Ryan's first impulse will be to get to the boat.
I thought you were staying here.
Dear lady, as much as that thought warms the very cockles of my heart, my future is surely bound in theirs as long as they have need of me.
I'm sorry to hear you say that.
But if there was one place in Deathlands where I would stay if circumstances were different...
No need going on about it, Theophilus. You got your mind made up. I could tell yesterday when I was foolish enough to ask you to stay. Hey! Speak of the damn devil! They're your friends! Running toward the main house! Not exactly what I had in mind when I outfitted them. Figured at least they'd stand and fight with us.
Do not underestimate them, madam.
I'll believe it.
The corpse toppled from its position beside a gnarled oak tree. Ryan had his second target in his sights. The first two rounds cut the leafy branches above the man's head, driving him out into the open.
I got him!
Jack came down the rope with the agility of a monkey. He leapt off and threw himself into a diving roll. Bullets broke the ground where he'd been. Ryan shifted his Sig Sauer, picking up one of the Colt Hearts shooting at Jack. By then, Jack had disappeared into the foliage. Ryan charged, running flat out, while the other companions provided covering fire. Ryan put away the Sig Sauer and raised the Steyr as he took up a defensive position beside a thick bold tree, spotting two Colt Hearts in brief flashes through the brush. The Colt Hearts pulled back. The rest of the companions, now with Doc in tow, climbed over the wall and followed Ryan into the forest. As he led the way, Ryan saw two men with Jack's familiar leaf-bladed knives embedded in them. Ryan retrieved the knives and tucked them into his pockets. He knew Jack ranged somewhere ahead of them, scouting out the way. Mildred and JB brought up the rear, guarding Elmore, Morse, and the two boys. Dean and Doc stayed with Christy. Once everyone was in the forest, moving through the brush with the ease and skill they were accustomed to, Ryan picked up the pace. He caught occasional glimpses of Jack, as the team allowed him. They swept around the front of the trading post, angling steadily toward the river and the pier where the boat was. As they came into the terrain in front of the trading post, still deep within the tree line, Ryan kept the companions close to ground to avoid the gunfire of the Baron Sekhmen.
Whitey! Whitey! Where the fuck are you?
Pulling up behind a shelf of rock, Ryan froze into place. Behind him, Doc, Dean, and Christy stopped, then waved the other companions into hiding. The man stayed low, but he chose to go over the rock shelf. Pebbles dropped onto Ryan's back amid a shower of dirt, letting Ryan know the man was above him. Keeping the Sig Sauer in one fist, he reached up with the other and grabbed the man by the hair and yanked. The man tried to bring up his rifle. Ryan slapped it away with his forearm, then kicked the man in the crotch with his steel-toed boot. All the fight in the man drained away. Ryan seized the rifle and threw it into the brush. He grabbed the Colt Heart by the shirt.
Who are you?
Jenkins!
What are you doing here?
Hired on with a man named Carlton a few months back. We've been hunting Shaker.
Why?
Mister, I don't know. Carlton, he collects things. Found out Shaker does too. A couple of times, we weren't hunting Shaker. He was hunting us. Same reason.
What kind of things are they collecting?
Oh, pretty dark stuff. Comp progs, high-tech stuff that doesn't even work no more. Doesn't make sense if you ask me, but Calton keeps the jack coming on time.
That's it?
That's it.
You bet your ass that's it.
Less than 50 yards on, Ryan came across Jack. They were at the outer perimeter. Beyond it was the open space leading to the drop-off where the rope bridges to the boat were. The rest of the companions came up around them.
All right, people. We need to spread out and form a skirmish line.
Carlton's sec forces had dug themselves into the forest on the other side of the clearing, and in the area more toward the trading post where Ryan and the companions were. Three Coltharts bolted from the forest on their side. JB opened up with the Uzi, attracting attention. Mildred brandished her ZKR-551 and picked off two Coltharts who turned their attention on the companions.
Cat's out of the bag now. We move or we die right here.
Jack, you got the lead. Chances are some of the Coltharts are aboard the boat, holding it in case they have to retreat. Doc, you're next. We can use that big blaster of yours to clear the way. Mildred, JP, you're bringing up drag. Dean, Christy, keep the others moving along.
You can't make me go out into that.
Dean, if this triple stew bastard doesn't move when you tell him, you put a round through his head. Let's move.
The gunners manning the trading post caught the companions' attackers in a crossfire. In the next instant, Annie laid down a fierce barrage with a 20mm cannon. The big rounds chewed holes in the ground and toppled trees, breaking some of them and leaving trunks 4 or 5 feet tall. Ryan held his position until JB and Mildred got clear. Jack plunged over the edge in the distance, racing down the rope ladder. The sounds of gunfire slammed up from below, letting Ryan know he'd been correct in assuming there'd be men positioned there. He raced after the companions. Instead of heading for the bridge area, he stayed along the tree line, driving his feet hard against the ground. Reaching the edge of the precipice overlooking the pier, Ryan peered down. The boat was still tied up at the pier, a promising sign in its own right. But Coltharts were aboard it, shooting at the companions as they made their way down the rope ladders. Ryan pulled the Steyr to his shoulder and aimed at the gunners aboard Junie. JB's rounds tracked across the deck, throwing up splinters and leaving pockmarks behind, then smashed into the gunner. Jack was on the final set of steps leading to the pier when thick black smoke curled up from the boat.
Fire blast!
Ryan didn't have a chance to see how bad the fire was before bullets drove him to cover. The attack by Colton's Coltharts had all but broken off. Dead men draped the broken terrain. Judging by the sudden interest the Coltharts had in him, Ryan deduced he'd been selected as a consolation prize. Down the precipice, Ryan saw Jack reach the boat. He dashed below decks and came back up with a water bucket. He ran across two corpses left on deck and dipped up a bucket of water. He sluiced it across the deck, trying to combat the flame.
Yeah, I got you, motherfucker!
Ryan spun around. There was nowhere to go. Christy knew at once that Ryan was in danger. She felt it with every fiber of her being. Pausing on the last set of rough timber steps, she peered back up at the drop-off.
Dear lady, is something wrong?
Ryan, he's in trouble.
Christy saw Ryan's body come tumbling over the edge, arms and legs flailing. He fell, then disappeared under the raging river. She felt Doc's hand on her forearm, tugging her along. Dean, behind her, pushed forward.
Oh, Gaia! He's going to be all right. But that river's going to pull him along. We've got to get the boat moving. It's his only chance.
He's dead, whore. Dead and gone. You're never going to see him again. He's never going to have the chance to defile you again.
No. If Ryan was dead, I'd know. Gaia would see to it that I knew.
Look into those rushing waters, bitch. Feel the ice nestle around the hope in your heart.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.